Hello and welcome to week 48 of the Journey to Holiness, where you're going to be able to find your personal holiness through God's holiness. This week, in week 48, we're going to be talking and sharing with you from the emphasis on releasing others from emotional prisons. As we began to think about our relationships with others and looking at the anchors of holiness for this week, it suggests to us this. Possessiveness is not powerfulness. Allow others room to grow so that they can live in their emotional freedom, because indeed God is in control. So then if we begin to look at this anchor of wholeness for this week, talking about how you and I perhaps inadvertently began to control others by not really allowing them the opportunity to overcome and be free from the emotions that you placed on them. When we look at this week's anchor of wholeness, I'd like to have you look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to go ahead and take some time to really emphasize verses 1 through 5. I found that in reading the American Standard Version as well as the Message Version, there's been quite a bit of a very interesting perspective here. But what I'm going to do is share with you actually from the American Standard Version. And this is going to be something that you're wanting to look into and think about what you can glean from it. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 in the New American Standard Bible says, "The brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." Verse 2 reads, "Bear one another's burden, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regards to himself alone and not in regards to another. For each one will bear his own burden." And that's actually Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Now, looking finally at verse 6, it says, "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." So let's look a little bit more into how, if we're holding person's fault against them, how that actually places them in an emotional prison. And believe it or not, that puts you at the point where you're really trying to control that person because you really won't allow them to be released from their emotional prison. You see, when you really want to be a positive influence in others' lives, you must first have the goal of encouraging them. I'd like to review 7 components of releasing others from their offenses. Now, you're going to be able to find these actually in the 6th chapter of Galatians, and I'm going to give you the components that are actually going to be embedded in those texts. Well, the first thing you have to do is learn the art of forgiving the fault. Very often, when you just get to the point where you have actually embedded this lack of forgiveness, unforgiveness as it were, is such a way to open the gates of a prison and to put someone in emotionally. So the first component that you will have to learn is to begin to release others from their offense. You and I are going to have to master the art of forgiving the fault of those persons who have been offended. The second thing is you've got to avoid the tendency to be critical. Sometimes, because of the way you think, you actually find more pleasure in finding out what's wrong with the person than actually being able to look at some of the good things and the good qualities that they have. So the second component of being able to release is to actually avoid the tendency to be critical. Begin to listen to what you're saying, and then begin to figure out whether what you're sharing with that person or your interaction with them is more critical or more encouraging. So once you've been able to look at that step, it'll put you on the road to right successes. Now, let's look at the third component. There, I'd like for you to begin to reach out to those who have made mistakes so that you can think soberly about yourself. Well, my point here is that when you begin to actually interact with persons who made mistakes and they have the tendency and the desire to want to overcome those mistakes, by working with them side by side, looking positively in them, looking at their failures, looking at their mistakes, and helping them come along, you then began to think soberly about yourself. You began to realize that you are really no greater than that person, but that somehow your life trail has not allowed you to be in that position, but it doesn't say that it would never become a chance that that also won't happen to you. So actually, you learn a sense of compassion when you begin to work with people who have had faults and made mistakes and have failures, because you began to listen to them and work with them, considering yourself, because you too may be able to be in the same shoes. So let's go to the fourth component. I'd like for you to practice to share their burden. This makes you an example of Christ, because what happens is Christ is a savior, he is a confidant, he's a comforter, and what happens is when we begin to emulate the characteristics of Christ, we begin to become much more effective in our lives. So then when you share others' burden, when you found that people have made mistakes or perhaps even been offensive to you, perhaps if you understand and begin to become an example of Christ, then you too will fare much better in this life. Now, looking at number five, this is another step that I'd like for you to begin to take. Always practice seeing the good in people. Regardless of what type of circumstances a person may be in, and in your interaction, you've got to get to the point that you can actually see the good. You see, when you practice that art, it's going to get you to a positive thinking, and it's going to open you up to very positive perspectives in relationships. When you begin to hold grudges, or when you begin to hold back and only begin to nitpick, as it were, the problems and the errors and deficiencies of others, then that's going to be problematic in your relationship with others. But if you, through this fifth step, practice seeing the good in people, you too will become a much better person, and your relationships will be stronger. Let's look at the sixth component. Don't live in the past, and don't think about past errors. Look forward. So, there have been situations in your life and in others' lives where there have been errors that have been made. There have been problems and maybe even mistakes, grave mistakes, if you can calculate them. But most importantly, you've got to get to the point that you are not looking backwards, that you don't live in the past, but that you look forward. You see, what happens is if you're always looking backwards and you're always holding yourself hostage or others hostage from things that have happened in the past, it's going to be very difficult for you to enjoy your future. So I suggest to you that in the sixth step, don't live in the past. Look forward. You know what? It reminds me of Apostle Paul when he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I am going to press forward for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. So actually, your and my strength lies in how well you and I can look forward. And then finally, the seventh component is that you've got to learn to treat others like you would like to be treated. When you think of the task of actually releasing others from their emotional prison because you're controlling them through a guilt complex, then perhaps when you release them, you'll be able to get to the point that you yourself will be rewarded for that, because we know, as it says here in verse 7 of that same chapter, chapter 6, verse 7, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. So whatever man sows, this he will also reap. So practice planting positive seeds in the lives of others so that you, in fact, will be able to have positive things come up in your own life. So treat others like you would like to be treated. So when you cease trying to control others by reminding them of their faults, you run the risk of taking God out of control of your life. And what happens is, until you do that, you may be running that risk because you're now trying to control others without allowing God to control you. Your focus should be heaven-bound, and you should be earthly free. Your goals and representations of your future should be very, very positive. Some things require releasing others in order to receive wholeness within you. And so God is always in control. So allow others the room to grow so that they can live in their emotional freedom. And the paradox is that when you do that, you too can live in your emotional freedom. So I'd like for you to begin to practice this, releasing others from their prisons, and therefore you will find that you will be whole, be free, and definitely you'll be blessed. Thank you.